Hey, Victory. Pastor Ashley here. The ladies gathered recently for a pop-up convo about understanding our personal purpose and defining our personal assignments. We had an incredible time experiencing the gift of community. Through the worship, meaningful conversations, and impartation from a panel of women, we left more unified and encouraged as a sisterhood. We wanted to make our panel conversation about purpose and assignments available for our podcast listeners. So here it is.
What if the arrows in the quiver represented assignments from God? What if the quiver was the purpose? Like, this is my personal purpose. And then these arrows were each assignments from God. And at that point, I had two kids. So it was like the obvious assignments, right, was a mom to Benny, a mom to Liam. That's two arrows. But what are the other assignments? And the reason I started thinking of this is because you might disagree with me, and you absolutely can. And if you want to tell me about it afterwards, I probably don't have time to listen to all your disagreement about it. But I will say that I had to start thinking beyond calling, because I was like, yes, like people say, okay, I'm called to be a mom. Okay, I'm called to be a pastor. I'm called to be a musician. But the reality is life happens. And if circumstances change, then does that mean your calling changes? No. It doesn't mean you're calling. So I started wrestling, and then what is our calling? In the church world, we hear the word calling a lot. Like, what is the calling, you know, that never changes no matter what? You know, when Pastor Sharon, when she lost her husband, if she was called to be, if it was like, man, my calling is to be lead pastor, well, when we stepped in as lead pastors, does that mean she can no longer fulfill her calling? That would be very discouraging. We would be lost without hope, and we'd be not purposeful. So that's when I started wrestling. God, what really is our calling? The thing that never changes, and it really is to know God and to make him known. Like, no matter what, no matter how many kids I have at home, no matter how many kids I don't have, no matter my marital status, no matter what job I have, like when I was working at Mr. Goodson Sub Shop, which was at 81st and Harvard, but now it's at 101st and Memorial. And when I was working at the donut store, you know, in Broken Arrow, when I was going to Bible college here, like, obviously that wasn't my calling, but it was a specific assignment. And it was actually a specific assignment to fulfill another assignment, which was be a Bible college student. And so, but I realized, I'm like, man, I got to take the lid. I got to not think of this so much of square, because things change, seasons change, but man, my calling never changes. Like, how do you find purpose when you're not doing something that, when you don't really love your current assignment? Or how do you find purpose when you need to get passionate about your current assignment? You got to get in touch with that calling, that it never, to know God and to make him known. And I could do that as a pastor, I could do it as a mom, or I could do it serving donuts at 5:30 a.m. Now, it's not going to be that great at 5:30 a.m. But how can I stay connected to my calling is to know God and to make him known. And the purpose, the quiver of this, it's like my unique quiver. Like, this is unique to me. We say it all the time here at Victory, that I'm here on purpose because I have a purpose. My calling is to know God and make him known. But what is my unique purpose? Why am I here? Why did I have you start asking those questions to one another about your, what brings you joy? What are some of those characteristics? Because I really want to take some time at the beginning here to unpack uniqueness. Because uniqueness has a lot to do with our purpose. There's so many options in life of what we could be doing, but there's a specific reason why you are here on this earth. And then these arrows, so like this is our purpose, right? And it holds all these unique assignments, right? And some of these unique assignments, they change. Some of these unique assignments stay in the quiver, but maybe they just look differently in different seasons. God's heart for every single one of you ladies in this room is that you would walk away with a greater understanding of purpose and defining your assignments. What are your assignments? I get a pet peeve. There's a lot of sermons about seasons, and there's seasons for things. And the reality is there are seasons for things, okay? I get it. But because seasons is normally used within the calendar, like fall, summer, winter, spring, like we love seasons changing here in Oklahoma. We love the change. But the reality is sometimes we view life as seasons according to the calendar. We can't do that. Otherwise, we're constantly looking for the next thing every 3 or 4 months. Like I've heard it said like this, that when it's a new season, change your outfit. Doesn't mean you need a new assignment. Because otherwise, we miss the joy of really being planted and discovering everything that God has for us in this assignment. And the reality in this time and with these assignments, and if I was going to take time to sharpen the edge of this assignment, can you imagine the precision if I was going to actually look at the uniqueness? Because God knows all these assignments in my quiver, they are for purpose, on purpose. And they are uniquely mine. And doesn't mean that other people might not have similar assignments, but nobody fulfills it directly the way I might fulfill it. Because I'm unique, because you're unique. Even just the time you're alive, where you're at, your job, your situation, your family, like, whatever season of life, the ages of your kid, whatever, the seasons, the assignments, the purpose. And if I was going to sharpen the edge, and if I was going to actually define these arrows, and if I was going to allow these seasons or these assignments to allow God to develop, use these assignments to develop things in me, can you imagine, I don't have it up here, but if I had a target board or if I had a bullseye, can you imagine the precision that I could possibly experience with precision in assignments also means fulfillment. Like when I can fulfill the assignments and develop in the assignments, it actually brings fulfillment. My prayer is that every single assignment that I would know God more intimately and that I would effectively make him known no matter what I'm doing, because I'm not what I do. The quiver, that's the purpose. That's the unique packaging for you. And these arrows are the assignments. And I want to open up with this scripture in Psalms 139 that we hear all the time. And normally I camp out in the Amplified version, but I love this in the Message version. It says, oh yes, you shape me first inside then out. You form me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God. You're breathtaking. Like, can you imagine, like, you remember that third question I asked you, like, I don't even know if I can answer this. It's talking about myself. Let me give you a new perspective that you are magnifying the way that God created you. You're agreeing and accepting and celebrating. Do you ever, like, that's amazing. Like, you made me inside and out. Oh, wow, God, you're breathtaking. Like, he's saying, look at me. You're breathtaking by the way that I am realizing how you've wired me. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I mean, yes, some of that is a faith statement, but you gotta say it till you believe it. I worship in adoration. What a creation. He's talking about like himself, like you. Like, have you ever thought, what a creation? That's incredible. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit, how I was sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watch me grow from conception to birth. I love this. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. I love it. All the assignments of my life were spread out before you. All the seasons, all the stages were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I'd even lived one day. That is the kind of God that we serve. Such an intentional God. And as we talk about purpose, as we're talking about assignment, we have to start with identity. And what does God's word say about your identity? This is it. And I want to propose, before I open up this conversation up here, I want to propose a definition of confidence to you. Many of us look at people, and because they can do hard things, or they we say, oh, they're so confident. We just kind of leave the word confidence to just an outward action. Confidence is being deeply rooted in an internal belief system that God didn't make any mistakes when he created you. It's a transformational belief that shows up in how we live out our purpose. Confidence is not just an outward expression. If we really want to fully live out our purpose and assignments, no matter what people say or don't say about us, the plethora of what people say or the lack of, being confident actually is in your hands. Because I can control what I believe about myself. You can control what you believe about yourself. Confidence is being deeply rooted in an internal belief system that God didn't make any mistakes when he created you. We are breathtaking. And so that's where I want to start. And one of the first questions that I want to ask our panel is, what is a scripture? Because the word of God is what's powerful. The word of God is what's alive. The word of God is what separates truth and lies. And so I would love for you guys to share one scripture that really helped you grow in accepting the way that God has created you.
One of the scriptures in Psalms 139 also says that he knew every one of our days before there was one. So I love the revelation of, okay, God, you knew every one of my days. And several years ago, I'm going to pull it to make sure I have it memorized, but I might not get it all exactly since it's amplified. But anyone that's ever heard me talk to you very much, you know that I'm going to go to Ephesians 2:10. And it's, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, that he planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. So several years ago, I felt like the Lord really took me to the scripture. And he said, Debbie, for a lot of your life, you felt like you probably had to do it just right, hear him just right, and make sure that I was walking out what his plan was. And he said, I really want you to just get the revelation of what I'm saying here. I've already prearranged and made ready every good work that you're to walk in. I've already prearranged and made ready the good life that I want you to live in. The key is living a surrendered life. Be quick to hear and quick to do whatever I speak to you. So I realized it was this relationship that I had to develop and trust in, that I'm going to hear him and he's going to guide me. And I don't have to just be the right person, be at the right place, do whatever to make these things happen. This was God's plan for me. Every one of my days he's seen before there was one. So even today, at the age that I am, I still bind my will to the will of God. And I still bind my mind to the mind of Christ. And I agree, Lord, with what you wrote in your book for me today. Let me walk it out. And may I be always quick to hear and quick to do whatever your spirit speaks to me.
That's so good. You're so peaceful when you talk that I was like, I've been yelling up here. I'm so sorry if I've yelled in your ear. I didn't have a lot of downtime today, so I've just kind of been up here. So I'm going to purposefully say, Ephesians 2:10. See, it's not even natural. I'm turning into a ballerina. Like, it's not even natural. Anyways, I'm just sorry if I'm yelling at you. Put your things in. Anyways, it was so peaceful. You're like, wow. Okay, confidence. That's such a good word. And I forgot, I didn't introduce. So this is Pastor Debbie. This is Kim. And this is Iman. So they're amazing, powerful ladies. Okay, who wants to go next?
This is a hard one because there's so many scriptures that I feel like the Lord has taken me to through the years. And one of them is funny, that mine was Ephesians 3:20. It says, now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we could hope, think, or ask. And, you know, this scripture, I remember praying this as a teenager and just trying to fathom, you know, my dreams, my hopes, all the things I wanted out of life, trying to figure out how I would ever get there. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And then he also took me to Psalm 37. It says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And so I started using those scriptures as focus points for me, like anchors to my soul. And when I was scattered and worried and afraid that, you know, I was off or trying to figure out what I was to do, I would use these scriptures as anchors, like delight myself in the Lord and he will give me my the desires of my heart. I took it as he's going to place in me what I need, what he wants me to desire. Like, it wasn't just about what I wanted. It was what I wanted to desire, yeah. What he desired for me.
Right.
Figuring that he knows best, and I could trust him with that. And so, and then also realizing that those desires he put in me are him. I don't have to be afraid of them. I mean, we all have different thumbprints. Every person in the world has a different thumbprint. How much more does he care about your dreams and about the purpose, your purpose on this earth, your expression of him on this earth? He is in us. We're his temple, and he's resided in us. How much more does he care about the purposes than even our fingerprints? And he's crafted something so unique and individual by the way we were raised and trained and our personalities, our temperaments, and how we were, what we love, what we don't love, and all those things. He cares about our purpose. So as we delight ourselves in the Lord, he's refining our desires even and purifying them, and we can trust him with them. He delights to give you the kingdom. So how much more does he delight to, give you your purpose of his life on this earth? I mean, it is a beautiful thing. And so I just encourage you, dream. Allow your life, your heart, to be a vessel for his dreams on this earth. And so many times I'll be like, is this you, God, or is this me, or I don't know who this is. And it's like the Lord's like, I'm in you. Can you just relax and know that as you're delighting yourself in me, that these are going to be my desires? And I think sometimes we fight the natural thing in us. The things that we love, the things that we care about, the things that bring you joy. And that's our joyful identity. He's put in things that you just get a kick out of. It's like, that's God in you. So I think it is. I think it's just a anchor to delight in him. And then allow him to birth in you his desires. And it is an amazing, because it is more than you could ask or think or dream of.
I love that. So good. So good. I remember my first revelation of that scripture too, because I did have, honestly, a fear to dream, because I was like, what if I'm dreaming things that are not his for my life? And honestly, as actually in Bible college, I remember someone teaching that, and it was like, as I grow closer to God, then my desires are going to become more in aligned with his desires for my life, because I'm becoming more like him. So I started pay attention. It was a course corrector. I just started paying attention to as I pressed into God, what desires were coming to the surface, because that really also spoke to the timing of the assignments and what those assignments and what desires actually grew and which ones were just kind of there. And was it a result of actually spending time with God? Because sometimes we get on like social media or have a conversation and desires are sparked. And you're like, oh, should I be doing that? You know, like you see someone running on the treadmill, you see them run, should I be doing that? Like, yes, we should all be running on the treadmill, I guess. But the point is what I'm saying is that we look at other people and we're like, wow, my desires are growing, but it's based on just being around people versus like, what are the God-given assignments? What are the God-given desires? Those begin to amplify and accelerate and rise up as a result of spending time with him. It's one practical way of deciphering, like, man, this desire is not going away, and I keep, maybe pay attention to that, you know?
that really leads into the scripture that I had in my heart for that question, and that's Jeremiah 1:5. And in the Amplified translation, it says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew and approved of you as my chosen instrument. And before you were born, I separated you and I set you apart, consecrating you, and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." And I think about the fact that before I was even formed in my mother's womb, God knew me. God knew you. And when you really meditate on that reality and that truth of what God spoke to Jeremiah and the fact that that's the same for us, it's a reminder that he has known us so much longer than we've known ourselves. And I love the fact that it first says, not I have this plan for you and all these things. Before I formed you, I knew you. Meaning he had an awareness, an understanding, a knowing, a plan, an intimate knowledge of who we are. And there was a space where we knew the Lord. And I feel like that's very powerful to think about. That, you know, there is that reality of knowing God in a deep way, and that even out of that comes our purpose. And when we have a connection and a relationship with God, he's the one that reveals it, and he's the one that ordained us. We don't ordain ourselves. You know, purpose isn't something that we just get to select. Like when you think about growing up in school, and it's like, who do you want to be when you grow up? And come to school, dress up for, you know, as who you want to be. That's all fun, but in reality, it's the Lord who knows the purpose. He knows the plan, and that leads into Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope." And I find a lot of peace in the fact that, yes, I've got grand ideas, I have things that I visualize and that I see about my future, but the Lord knows the plans. And when we sync up to him and we're in relationship with him and we're surrounded with other women who are in relationship to him as well, we get into an environment that stirs up those plans. And we begin to see and experience what God really has created us for us from the very beginning. And so, I don't know, there's just something to me about Jeremiah 1:5 that's been stirring probably for like a year and a half when I'd heard a sermon. And there was just a brief word about it, and it just struck me really deeply that God is, he's known me before I was formed in my mother's womb. And I believe that even when people come into environments like this, you may not know the Lord, but there's something about an environment where he is present that I feel like it just kind of pulls on. Before I was formed in my mother's womb, he knew me. And there's something that's familiar about an environment where he's present. If you catch it, it's so deep. But yeah.
And it goes back to confidence. It's a transformational belief. If I have not experienced transformation from a truth of his word, then it is not deeply rooted enough. Like, his word is meant to be transformational. And one of the reasons why I asked him this question is because I want to ask you, what's your anchor? Like, what's your anchor that's keeping you confident? Not the confident of like, wow, I feel so confident because I'm good at this. I'm good at this job. But a deeply rooted and internal belief system that God didn't make any mistakes when he created me, when he called me to this position, that, you know, a lie that I have to go back to is I think, man, many other people could do this job better than me. Well, the reality is it maybe it's true. But God didn't call those other people. God called me. But that goes to not in my confidence to do this or that. It goes back into that God didn't make any mistakes when he created me and he called me here. So what truth in the word of God do you need to be transformed by? What are you shaky about? Because when you're deeply rooted, I mean, you've struck a foundation that you're not moving by what people said or what people don't say. And there's things that God is calling you guys to step out into, but you're going to stay in the boat if you don't have an anchor that propels you forward. Like, it's like, God, I'm stepping out in the boat. You can step out because you actually have an anchor. And that comes from the word of God, the promises of his word. He's calling some of you out to something new, and you're like, man, I've never been there before. I've never done this before. But you, are there practical things that we can grow in as skill? Absolutely, as we should. We should be good stewards of the gifts that he has given us. But a lot of us just need to say yes to what God is asking us to do. Some of your yeses is just talking to the person next to you. It's just opening up to someone next to you. Why? Because you recognize that I'm here on purpose because I have a purpose. And I'm going to do something before I act. Sometimes we got to do it before we actually believe it. But it goes back to Paul's message this weekend. I'm stepping out in faith. God, you said it, so I'm stepping out in this. So, okay, so I want to talk about defining our assignments. And we've talked about purpose. We've talked about uniqueness. I do want to hit on that one more time. I want, Debbie, I want you to kind of highlight on just the uniqueness and the whole idea, God's idea about the gifts of God are irrevocable and just the way that he's wired us and uniquely gifted us.
So the scripture tells us that our calling, our giftings, our callings, they're irrevocable, meaning he's not going to ever take them back, okay? So they're yours before the foundation of the world. He's planted, he's predestined, he's made that ready for you. And I love, after if you read Jeremiah 29:11, where Pastor Amon stopped, but you go on and you go to verse 12, it says, then you will call upon me, and you will come and pray to me. And I know we're talking to Jeremiah here, but this is to all of us, or Israel. I will hear and heed you. Then you will seek me, inquire for and require me as a vital necessity, and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Verse 14 says, and I will be found by you, says the Lord. And then he's going to release the captivity and so forth. But what he's saying to you, when you seek me, when you delight in me, just as she was saying, when you delight yourself in the Lord, he said, I'll give you the desires of your heart. But isn't just what you want. That means I'm delighting in him. I'm putting him first. Now he puts his God desires within me. And I saw in my own life, I began to hunger and long for the things that he was putting in me. Because that word washes you and that word transforms you. I was, grew up in the panhandle of Oklahoma. My dad was in business. I was going to grow up and marry a businessman like my daddy. Never knew the call of God that was on my life. I didn't come from a ministry family. But as I began to seek God first, as I began to delight in him, my parents always taught me, they were first generation Christians, and they'd say, God has a precise plan for you. And it's something that, if you've been through women's discipleship, you hear me pray it, that I pray, God, the very reason that this young woman was given life, let them walk in the fullness of the details of what you have made ready for them. And so as I began to delight in him, he began to give me a desire. And it was one step of obedience, led by peace, confirmed by peace, to hearing his voice, to another step of obedience, that I walked into the revelation in my early 20s as a student at ORU, that I had a divine call in my life. Didn't know what all that meant, didn't know what all it was going to be, but I knew that he had called me and that I needed to yield that to him. There was a moment when Pastor Sharon came to minister at our chapel at ORU, and I thought, Lord, I really don't want to be in ministry. I guess the pastors or ministers I saw that traveled, I didn't think that was something I wanted to be. But I remember she stood up there and she preached and she sang, and I remember having a moment where I said, God, even if it means being a pastor's wife or being full-time ministry, I will surrender to you if that's your plan. And never thinking, this has been my home church and I'd be planted here and be able to be a part of this great house. What am I saying? It's taking a yieldedness to God and then allowing him to expand what you see for yourself. Because it wasn't something I dreamed or believed. It wasn't something I had an open vision of. For me personally, even in the way that he revealed that Ty was my husband, was one step of obedience, confirmed by peace, and then another step to the, like, for him and I to know that we were called to be together, but to know that I'm walking in the divine plan and purpose that he's had for my life. It looks different, but it's still the same call, to know God, to make him known.
Yeah, that's so good, so good. When it comes to assignments and the specific assignments, Kim or Iman, what is something that you guys, what has been your process of discovery and development within the specific assignments? Again, like my assignment is I am married to Paul. I'm a wife. Like, I don't think like that's my calling. My calling is to make him known. Again, does Pastor Billy Joe, just because he went to be with the Lord, or my dad, when my mom went to be with the Lord, does that mean his calling is now over? No, it was an assignment. It was a specific assignment, a specific mission for a season. And honestly, the fear of the Lord will get me, because we're not promised tomorrow. And like John Maxwell said, we're all one step away from stupid. And how many of you guys have taken that step before and become that person? But the reality is that I don't want to forfeit. Some of us forfeit our assignments because of lack of character or trying to bypass development processes. And it's like, Lord, no, I want to fulfill this assignment. And I'm not promised tomorrow, and so I don't know what all the future assignments are. But man, the ones I do know, I want to make sure I've defined them and that I am developing within them. So what has been y'all's process in really defining those assignments? What does that look like in your life, as well as the development of that? And then we're going to turn it into some table talk.
Well, I'll share real quick. I think being observant of the open doors that God has had in front of me, and realizing that it is very important how I steward the current assignment, even if it's not exactly what I had in mind. Can we talk about that real quick? Are we okay to be real at this time of the evening? Not every assignment is exactly what you want to do or where you want to be. And I can think back on seasons where I very much felt that way, where I very much felt like I've come out of ORU and I'm excited about different things that I've sensed in my future, and then I'm working at Blue Goose Cantina, and then I'm working at Charmin Charlie, and I'm like working at the dental office in scrubs, and I'm like, what am I
doing?
Well,
I did that too. I went with the open doors. They worked with me on my Mondays. I was like, you're my people. You're my boss. Lord, I surrender.
It was a struggle, though, because I didn't want to be in them scrubs. I wanted to wear something else. I was like, God, what are we doing?
I'd rather been in scrubs. I was up in the storage room dealing with files that nobody else wanted to.
I was the receptionist at a dental office, and so I had to be pleasant.
Oh, you had to be pleasant.
Even though I was in a job that I didn't really want to be in.
Yeah.
And so I think it was like the Lord had to remind me in each one of those different situations along the way, this is the assignment that I have you in. And if you keep focusing on what you believe to be your future, your calling, your destiny, and you don't handle this right here well, how can I trust you with my people? How can I trust you with what I have truly called and ordained and sanctified you for? You've got to treat this here like that. You got to show up to the dental office the way you would show up in the church or wherever it is that you feel called to be. And so the Lord was really developing humility. The Lord was developing character. The Lord was developing my love walk. I had a very challenging boss at the dental office. And I was like, Lord, I'm being tested and I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know. I was having visions. I was seeing myself driving off and never come back. I mean, just all of that. How many of you can be real about it and say you've been there? Come on, don't leave me out here hanging. Okay? And I had that feeling, but the Lord held me. He held me there for a season, and then next thing I knew, I was pregnant with Gracie, and it's kind of funny. I say Grace was my exit. Because once I was pregnant with her, my husband and I agreed, okay, we'll have you home for a while, and I remember I was like, yes. But I had had the opportunity to develop in my patience, in my love walk, and throughout those different assignments, there were things that God was building in me. And I'm reminded of the story of Joseph. You think about Joseph, how the Lord gave him very specific dreams about things that were coming in his future. But what do you do when the palace doesn't look like the prison? What do you do when you see the palace but you're in Potiphar's house? And some of you may be in Potiphar's house right now. And you may be dealing with somebody false accusing you right now. But we have this example of Joseph where he held his integrity. He did the right thing, even though he was being lured into something that wasn't according to his character, he held his character. And then when he was in the prison, he could have sat back and said, you know what? I know how to interpret dreams, but I'm going to sit up in here and I'm going to act like I don't see you looking mad. I don't see you upset. I'm not going to use my gift because I don't want to be in this prison and I don't deserve to be in this prison. But I love the fact that it says that Joseph noticed the countenance had fallen with the two men in the prison. Come on, anybody with the first model on the dream team, I notice you and the things you notice, right? Mm-hmm. So he noticed them. And he said, what's going on? And they begin to open up about their dreams and what they had seen. And he said, you know what? The Lord will give me an interpretation for your dream. What do we see with that? He didn't hold back his gifts because he wasn't where he wanted to be.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
He was willing to use his gift in an unfavorable situation and circumstance. And so God shows us when we're in these different seasons, when we're in these different moments and assignments, your assignment changes, but your purpose doesn't change. Mm-hmm. Your purpose is the reason why God created you. Mm-hmm. But the assignments may shift, and that's why we can't put our weight of our identity on the assignment. Because what do you do when the job changes? What do you do when the dynamic changes? Now has your identity change? No, we're rooted in Christ. We know before we were formed in God's womb, he knew us. So no matter where you put me, if I'm in a pit, if I'm in Potiphar's house, or if I'm in a palace, I'm going to be excellent. I'm going to use my gift. I'm going to honor God. I'm going to stand in my integrity. That's what God is calling us to in our assignments.
Amen. So good. So good. Another reason why we're faithful to show up to our assignments, even when it's unfavorable, is the people deserve it. Because God gave his life for those people. And they deserve to see the best you show up, in the sense of they deserve to see you know God and to make him known. No matter what condition it is in, no matter what favorable circumstance or unfavorable, the people around you, it's amazing. I was thinking about similar seasons. I mentioned like that donut shop, and I am so glad that I am not a morning person. And I honestly was bitter every time driving. I was teeter-tottering between bitterness and thankfulness because I was like, well, God, it's the only thing that works with my schedule to fulfill one assignment of this 3-year-long internship and Bible school student. The donut shop was the thing that closed and in time for me to make my classes. But like, I was so thankful that at least I was stirred up in purpose, because later on, this person, like years later, she was like, I'm just so thankful I got to work with you at the donut store and the conversations we had. I mean, the things that you find unfavorable is an answer to someone else's prayer that you're working with or that you're fulfilling that assignment with. And speaking on Joseph, before we go to Kim, I was thinking about in Psalms, it's either 105, it's in my computer, I just looked it up and forgot, but it's in the 100s. In Psalms, it talks about that until the Lord's will came to pass, that's when he switched assignments. That's when he moved from the prison to the palace, until the Lord's will came to pass. You know what keeps me surrendered and humbled with the assignments of God is, Lord, is your will done? I'm not going to be motivated by my passions. I'm not going to be even motivated by what I think I should be doing next or what makes sense to my own mind, or maybe even words and prophecies that other people have told me. I got to know, like, Lord, has your will been done? Is your will in me? Because what matters to me more than a title or a position or a favorable circumstance is what you're developing on the inside of me. That's what matters the most, is what you're developing me on the inside of me. As a result of whatever assignment you're in, every assignment is, if I'm doing it with the Lord, then I get to know a new level, and I get to know a new thing about God that I didn't know about. What if every assignment was like, yes, it's not about just fulfilling, but it's also about like, Lord, how do I get to know you more intimately and deeply within this assignment? That keeps my ground, my feet planted. That keeps me present to my purpose. Man, I'm anticipating my future. I'm dreaming about my future, but I got to stay grounded in my present. I got to stay grounded in my present. Why? Because there's a who around me. There's a why that God has me planted. There's a what that he's wanting to do on the inside of me. And Kim, what is those, speaking of being grounded in the present, like talking about the why and stirring up a perspective that keeps us grounded in these assignments?
You know, I think so many of us are in assignments and we don't know our purpose yet. And so the assignments without a why so create good. A burden or a weight or a frustration. And, you know, you get fatigued because you don't know.
Just robotic. Just
yeah, you're just doing something without. Yeah. But the Lord wants to use your assignment to show you your purpose.
So
it
good.
Will confirm your purpose and it will show you your purpose. So and so each assignment that the Lord has you walk through. I mean, I was Red Lobster, okay, with the double knit sailor suit, okay? So
the cheesy biscuits.
And smelt like fish. Yeah, I don't know. Donuts may have been better. Anyway, but so many times I think we are so consumed with ourselves.
So good.
God's purposes are always consumed about people. And so our who is often usurped because we're just thinking about ourselves. And so the Lord, I think, so many times will ask us, who is it that you want to serve? He's asking you, who do you want to serve? This church is a great, a test tube. Like, I mean, you get to go experiment. You get to go practice. You get to go love people. You get to go serve people. You get to try with the kids. You get to go, you know, greet or whatever. And so that could be an assignment for you to learn about yourself. And so many times, I remember my teens and my 20s especially, and even my 30s, and now even, I'm still learning about myself because I'm this overwhelmingly magnificent creation that I don't even know who I am many times. The Lord knows, but he wants to reveal himself to me. So sometimes these assignments give us discovery, like of who I am. What do I love? What am I good at? Where are my strengths? Where are my weaknesses? What do I need to grow in, right? Other times it gives us just a barometer. It's like, wow, I'm really stinking at this thing here. Like, I'm terrible at accounting or whatever it is, right? And you start tweaking and learning about who you are. And then we just start accepting, this is just who I am. I've gotta do something that I can show up at and I love and I enjoy as a dream and a purpose. So I'm just saying that the why, the Lord will reveal to you the why. And it will come through friendships. It will come through great conversations. It'll come through your assignments. It will come by who you serve. And if you go in and you lock arms with God and say, God, I'm just going to serve here. I'm going to love well. I'm going to show up and be faithful. You're going to be surprised at who you are at the end of the assignment. You're not the same person. God wants to transform us into his image. And he uses people to do that. He uses the boss at the dental office. You know, he uses my Red Lobster manager who was screaming at me because I didn't get the salads on time. You know, I mean,
burn the biscuits.
No, burn the. So the who is, I would just encourage you, if you don't know what your purpose is, go find a who. Go find some people to serve and to love. And ask the Lord to show you your purpose in that room, in that space. I think you're going to be really surprised. You're going to find such a joy. And you're going to learn about yourself and learn about who God has you. And that thumbprint that's on, you know, that our fingerprints, you're going to find that's going to be coming out of you. And you're not going to be looking to the left and right. It's like, oh, I wish I was them. No, you're going to be like, I am so glad I'm me. I'm walking in this place of just like, Lord, you have done something beautiful in me.
So good, so good. What God is doing right now is he is bringing to life and he is bringing purpose and the why back to the purposes and the assignments. He's reminding you of the significance and the intentionality of God. It's not just the specific assignments, it's also the timing of those assignments. It's trusting God with those things. Man, there's a deep desire in my heart that I've actually wondered, is this actually an assignment? Is this actually part of my purpose? You know, God, is it, I don't know if it's just because this or that. And what's amazing is like, Paul actually brought it up not too long ago. And I was like, wow, maybe this actually is an assignment. It's not for now, but that just got me excited. But because, in other words, there's things, there's assignments. You don't have to know every single arrow. You don't have to name every single arrow. There's things that God's going to reveal to you. But the thing that we do need to know is we do need to have some definition to some of these assignments. And we need to have some surrender. Because just like we were talking up here, there's reasons for these assignments. And even though you may not like the reason, even though it might not logically match up, there's a scripture in Psalms that says, God, everything you do is worthy of my trust. God, if you're leading me here, then you're worthy of my trust. If you're leading me out of here, then you're worthy of my trust.
Thanks for listening to our conversation about purpose and assignments. I pray God used it to help bring clarity on your personal purpose and your personal assignments. If this podcast ministered to you, make sure that you send it to someone you think might need this. If you're a lady listening, we'd love for you to stay connected and stay informed about what's happening with the ladies at Victory. You can text the word ladies to 28950 to know when we're gathering next.